Does that make you feel something, Joe?
Yeah, the 90s.
That's right. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. You see that news over the last like 24 hours or so? There's been rumors floating around for years and years, but it's all but confirmed. Oasis is getting back together.
Oh, wow.
Two brothers reconciling, getting back together. Supposedly going to play 10 shows at Wembley and 10 shows at the stadium in Manchester.
Wow. Okay.
And do them, you know, all next year. 30 years since What's the Story, Morning Glory came out.
That album?
Yeah.
Are they just going to perform that album from front to back?
I don't know. They probably do, you know, their own. They have like a million hits, especially overseas.
I know, but that was like their big album, right?
Or am I wrong? Yeah, yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, that was the huge hit.
Like when I saw Peter Frampton, he performed Peter Frampton Comes Alive from start to finish as it was on the record.
But like that's the big, you know, big 30 years ago. If you talk to people who, you know, are super into the band or whatever else, you would think they've been broken up for 40 years. They're not even that old. I mean, they broke up in 2009.
Oh, wow. So I did not realize that.
Like, it wasn't that... I mean, it's a long time ago now, but it wasn't, like, that long ago.
Yeah, 2009 does not feel like that
right?
long ago.
But it seems like... And just ever since, it's been the nonstop, like, when are they getting back to... Come on, you got to get back together. A lot of people love that as their most, you know, important band, their favorite band in the world, getting back together. What's the band reunion you want to see more than anything else? 803-0930, B-Maz and Beamer, we're back here on a Monday. Whether it's this or anything else we're talking about today, give us a call or a text, 803-0930. I mean, Oasis, don't get me wrong, that's cool.
It's very cool.
I saw this, I can't get excited at all because, like, them to me will just be, and I love that record. They've got some great tunes that I'll play on some of their other stuff,
yeah,
and I love it. I know that I'm not flying to England. I'm not winning a ticket lottery. And, like, these will be harder to get than Taylor Swift tickets.
Yes.
I'm not flying to England to go see Oasis. So, like, this, it means nothing to me.
No, but you
hate
hope,
to say.
But you know? Do hope something like this kicks off a worldwide tour, right? They announce this. They go, wow, we've got the feeling back. This is amazing.
I'm probably not flying anywhere. Like, the worldwide tour, guess where they're not coming, Joe?
You don't think they're coming to the new stadium?
Buffalo.
In Orchard Park? They're going to be trying to bring anyone in.
Actually, maybe by that time, maybe the new stadium, maybe it'll be attractive. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can sell it on the cross-border thing. They would probably do Toronto before Buffalo,
yeah,
my guess.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I'm not banking on that coming around. And even, you know, some people say, like, oh, these bands get back together. Maybe they'll release new music. Can I say something? The new music always stinks.
Yes, it does.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it's never going to be as good.
One of my favorite moments at a concert, seeing Sugar Ray, 2019, and Mark McGrath said, hey, we're going to play some of our new stuff, so if you have to go to the bathroom, get a beer, now's the time to do it. Ton of respect for him for saying that.
You love a band that does that. That's, you know, hey, we're going to do a slow one here, so. Yeah.
Someday will not be
take
the next
whiz.
Three songs, so you're good.
Get the lighters out, whatever. You know, we got to do that. I think it's cool for super fans. It's cool for people who are going to jump on a plane or, you know, who are over there and are going to be able to get tickets to these shows, which I'm sure will be insanely priced.
Oh, yeah.
But is there any band out there you can think of you would love to see the reunion of the one more time? A reunion, if possible, too. Like, they all have to be alive. You can't say the Beatles.
Okay. I mean, someone already texted in the one that they knew I was going to say. They just broke up, but I haven't been able to see them together yet. And that's Hall & Oates. I would love to see Hall & Oates back together. Like, that's the show I wanted to see Prince. Well, never got to see Prince. He died. Wanted to see Jimmy Buffett. Never got to see Jimmy Buffett. He died. I'd like to see Hall & Oates together before they stop touring. But they have to get back together first.
The one you'd like to see them back together?
I mean, that's the one that comes to mind.
It is kind of like Oasis, where it's like, really, it's just two guys. You can put me and you up on stage behind them, and no one cares.
Right.
As long as we could play. Somebody said Pink Floyd on the text board. All right. Like, there's a good one for a lot of people. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think in my head of, like...
The Real Journey?
Okay.
Steve Perry actually joining Journey and touring with them. And if they just didn't sing Don't Stop Believing, it'd be even better. That's just, that song is so overplayed, even 40 years later, that it's...
You know why it's overplayed, though? Gets a pop every single time.
But it's not even their best song.
Doesn't matter. If you ask me, they don't have a single good song. But it's but no, that song, like, overplayed, yes. Cheesy, yes. I think it's only cheesy because it how many times it's been played. But you put, and I saw it firsthand when I was in Nashville. Like, they put that on the loudspeaker in a packed bar.
Yeah, no, that's...
Everybody's singing along. They do that at the Red Wings games in Detroit for obvious reasons. Everybody's singing along. Like, there's just something about it. You can't help yourself. You could say, I hate this song. This song stinks. They start playing it. Everybody's singing along. It's got that kind of thing to it.
I was at Wegmans last night, and Love and Touch and Squeezing came on.
And everyone started singing along?
No, I did. And people were looking at me like I was crazy. I was like, I very rarely have heard that song on the overhead speakers at a grocery store. I was like, this is kind of a change from what you usually hear at the grocery store. So I'd say, and these are, I know, are lame picks because they are technically touring bands, but they're not the original. I'd say original Journey, original Foreigner. If they got all the pieces, you know, the by pieces, I mean the real lead singer back with the bands, I'd call that getting back together.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something. The Faces, Rod Stewart, bring them all back together. That would be cool.
Sir Rod.
Do one big tour where you could see Rod Stewart, but you don't have to sit through the Great American Songbook.
You'd actually have to get Rod Stewart out of Vegas to do that.
Yeah, it might be tough. He's got the life right now. But I don't know. You know, there's some bands out there. If you have that one, what's the reunion you'd like to see? This one shocks me. Somebody texts in, I'd like to see Ted Nugent and his band again. I always assumed that was it's like Ted Nugent and the guys.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like if Gene Simmons left the band that he has together now.
the Gene Simmons band.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, I loved the second guitar player in the Gene Simmons band.
I want to see them get back together.
They need a reunion. I guess it's kind of like, you know, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Like, the E Street Band is well known enough that when they got back together and did Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band and brought back, you know, there's a little Steven playing, there's Clarence and, you know, Weinberg and everybody, like, that was a big deal. So I guess you can have, like, the front man and his backing band together be a big thing.
I will say this just for our friends up in Canada. And, you know, I had to throw a boy band out there from the late 90s, early 2000s, Soul Decision. I would go see Soul Decision if they got back together.
I'm sure you would.
Their second album didn't sell 10,000 copies, but that doesn't matter. Soul Decision, Faded, that first album, if they got back together, I'd go see them.
Someone said REM. Got a few good ones. Someone said the Spice Girls. Joe, stop texting into the board.
I'm sorry. I thought the Spice Girls were back together.
The boy version of the Spice Girls, I said this is like the Oasis News is like Blink 182. When they got back together.
Yeah.
Because it's almost a similar amount of time that they were broken up for and not together. And that's, you know, the Oasis thing is like the Brit version of that. I thought Blink 182 was cooler, though, because you had the guy left the band to go hunt aliens. It's a way cooler story than the two brothers got in an argument.
Yeah. I like the hunting alien story.
It's a way better story.
Well, because the two band members, brothers or not, getting in an argument is nothing
happens
new.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, we've seen bands break up forever because of that. Starting, you know, before music that was even recorded that happened.
But it's one thing to get back together, you play a few shows, you don't need to release new music.
No, no. Know why people are coming to see you. I've not the new stuff.
I have finally, Joe, finally gotten to the place where I'll still listen to it, I'll still buy it, but I'm finally at the place where I don't have the expectation of a band I love releases something new, and, you know, they've been around for 30 years or something like that, you know, a long time. You really love stuff that they made 20 years ago, or maybe it's even longer. I've finally relieved myself of the expectation whenever they come out with new music that, you know, it has to live up. You can just be happy with, some people only release one good thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can be happy with that. Like, not every, just because you love this band doesn't mean you have to love everything they put out. And I finally, you know, at the age of 34, I've finally seen the light on that.
You still check it out, though.
You still check it out because it might be good. Like, sometimes it is good.
Right.
It has a few good songs, something like that. Doesn't have to be, you don't have to defend it. Right, like, I've gotten past that. I don't have to defend everything my favorite bands do. And sometimes I legitimately think it's good.
Right.
But you know, I'm past that point.
I agree.
Joe, we talked about it early this morning, but if you weren't listening, a record was broken over the weekend. The road jersey that the one and only Babe Ruth wore when he famously, allegedly, called his shot, Game 3 of the 1932 World Series, sold at auction. The price? $24.12 million. Shatters the record that was set in 2022 by a Mickey Mantle rookie card as the most expensive sports collectible ever. That card sold for over $12.5 million. This one, again, $24.12 million for a Babe Ruth jersey that we were saying early this morning, Joe, it might be the most famous moment, whether it happened or it didn't, in sports history.
Yes, and one of the most famous athletes of all time.
I don't think anything really compares.
No, I think the time has something to do with it too. 92 years ago, Babe Ruth wore this jersey. I mean, would that be the equivalent in 70 years of Michael Jordan's flu game jersey?
Maybe. His shoes have already sold
right
at auction from that game.
But this price...
Like it's a legend, right?
I have a feeling this price, you know, after we're all gone, or, you know, very old,
yeah.
I have a feeling that Michael Jordan stuff see similar.
You know, stuff will always go, but then the next time this goes up for sale, right, I think it'll shatter everything again.
Yeah.
Because this is, I think it's the biggest moment in sports history. There's very few things. I mean, every person who's played Little League in their life, you step up to the plate and you know, point the bat out to center field. Like
if you want to get hit with the pitch.
every person knows that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your coach's pitch. And the coach just...
The coach of the other team.
The coach beans you.
Told you not to do that.
But like everybody knows that. It might not have even happened, by the way, but it's like 100 years ago. And
the
even
game
little,
happened. That's the cool
game
thing.
Happened.
Yeah, like he did wear that jersey.
You know, there's a little bit of video. You know, did he do it? I don't know. You know, but it's part of the legend. And I don't think there's a single moment in sports history that compares to that.
No.
That like it's past generations to where even little kids know. They might not even know Babe Ruth now, or you know who did it or what it is, but they know. Step up to the plate. Point to center field,
that's right,
calling your shot. Like that is the thing. The only thing I think that compares would be in the World Cup, Maradona, the hand of God, where he scores a goal by punching it into the net. The ref didn't see. He says after the game, a little bit of Maradona, a little bit of the hand of God, you know. And that jersey actually sold at auction. Did not come close to the Babe Ruth. But I can't think of any other moment in sports history that would come close. So this is a huge item.
Right. And it was the peak of baseball in America, right? I mean, baseball was the sport. It's still my favorite sport. One of my favorite sports. But that was when the eyes of America or the ears of America in 32 were on baseball. So a big piece of American history. You did mention Little League players. Brian, did you see, speaking of pointing to center field, did you see how the Little League World Series ended?
It would shock you to know I didn't.
Ah, it ended on a bunt. Would you believe me if I told you it ended on a bunt and the team that bunted won the game?
No. That's kind of anticlimactic, isn't
it? Bunted the ball up the line. The pitcher gets the ball, thinks the first baseman's there. The first baseman had also moved on the ball. So he just airmails it to the outfield, and the American team scores two runs and wins.
Oh, so we won?
Yes.
Oh, we won. That's all that matters. But the Babe Ruth jersey has me thinking of everything that people are holding on to that they think has value in life.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Beanie Babies. Last week, it was all over the news, the estate sale of all the old Bills and Sabres and Bandits and Bisons and Braves stuff that, you know, someone was holding on to, you know, now going all for sale in an estate sale. Like, what do you have in your attic or you're holding on to, maybe it's on display, maybe it's tucked away somewhere, that you're looking at, you're like, this is valuable. Maybe that means monetary, like maybe you have something that's really valuable, or maybe you have something that you keep saying, I love, this is going to be passed down for generations, like my kids are going to, they're going to be telling their kids about this, that in your head is that important piece of memory. It doesn't have to be sports. knowing Buffalo, it very well likely is. But like, what is that thing you have in your house that you're going to do that with? 803-0930 to join us here on WBEM. Maybe you have something like that. Like, is that you? Do you hold on to some of those keepsakes? Is it a Beanie Baby still, you know, after all these years, speaking of the 90s? Is it something from like the Bills Super Bowl runs, a seat from the Rock Pile? You know, whatever it might be. What's that thing that you're holding on to?
So for me, it's a few things. They're all sports related. You'll be surprised to know. I have a David Wright signed hat. And a picture of me standing there with David Wright signing the hat. I think it's really cool. Maybe it will never be worth anything. But I have that. That's something that, you know, I never want to let go of. I have a few things I bought at the Winter Classic in Buffalo in 08, which, you know, was the first of now every year there's a Winter Classic. That was the first one. And that's a pretty important piece of history. The first football game that ever you played at Bristol. I'm noticing my teams lose these games of where I have the thing from. The first football game that ever you played at Bristol Motor Speedway, Virginia Tech, Tennessee. I have stuff I bought from there that I won't wear and I keep tucked away. Like these things from events that I went to. And they're big to me. And I'd like them to stay somewhere in my family.
You're going to pass down the t-shirt of the event?
Yeah, this is the first time ever. It's big to me. Maybe it's not something I passed down. The autographs, definitely. I mean, David Wright's one of the best to ever put a Mets jersey on. Like, I definitely, that is something that, even if my son hates baseball, you're keeping this signed hat, okay?
Don't put it on the bonfire.
Yeah, no. You're keeping the hat in the jersey. I have it in a case, and a picture of me standing there with David Wright signing the hat is in the case. Like, I'm... Hey, this is real. There's the picture proof of it.
Early contender for text of the week on the board, LOL. Who is David Wright? That's what I would say, too.
You don't know who David Wright is?
No.
Really?
Why would I know who David Wright is?
I mean, it wasn't exclusive to the Mets. I mean, do you know who Aaron Judge is?
Yeah.
Okay, David Wright was pretty good baseball player back in the early 2000s. Like, if you watch SportsCenter, okay. they mentioned David Wright.
Yeah, I know Aaron Judge is because he plays for the biggest team in the world right now. He's like one of a handful of baseball
players.
Do you
know players. Who Mike Piazza
is? Yeah.
Okay. Same thing.
No, it's not, because I know who Mike Piazza is.
I'm shocked that you don't know who David... If you know who Mike Piazza is, you don't know who David Wright is. I'm shocked.
No, Mike Piazza was a star.
Do you know who Keith Hernandez is?
He was on Seinfeld.
Okay.
He wasn't, I would have no idea.
You've never heard of Ron Darling?
I think I've heard of the name.
Okay. This is a fun game. I like this.
Fun to who? But what is that thing? 803-0930. Somebody on the text board says, I still have the Pokemon cards, and in particular the foil metallic ones, a bunch of those stashed up waiting for the day those pick up in value. You know, I have to say, I've been watching that collectible show. That day might be today. They sold like a Pokemon card for $1 million.
Pokemon cards?
Yeah. They're crazy.
I didn't even realize they were still popular.
Oh, yeah. They're huge. I don't think that ever left popularity. What happened is we grew up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do like to buy sports cards from time to time, and I just thought the Pokemon cards were like, hey, we got these left over. I didn't realize it was like still something worth anything.
No.
Because you can still buy Beanie Babies. They're not worth anything.
To you, but maybe to somebody. I don't know. That's what true. Is it for you? What do you have laying around that might be of some value? $24 million? Could it be one of those? 803-0930, B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice Monday out there. How's it going?
I just have to say, you know, I talked about this last week, and I actually was invited to a fantasy football league. So as one folds, I get invited to another one. Draft tonight, Brian. So very happy to be back in the fantasy game.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see if one of mine are going to be reactivated. I've drafted two.
Okay.
And we'll see about the rest. Don't get me started talking about. You want to get me going about something that'll have everyone turning us off real quick. Bring up fantasy football. Well, I can go.
I'm also in a pick 'em league, which I do very well in. I usually am one of the last five remaining. So.
I never do those. Oh, I never do those. I love them, but it's just it's too much. You have to draw the line at some point.
Especially, it's not in a Buffalo group, so it's like people from around. They're either Commander or Panther fans.
Mm-hmm.
they're usually out early because they play the home team too early.
Yeah. They pick the teams that stink. Well, we're looking at over the weekend something that I love talking about, these auctions and seeing what old memorabilia or just anything really sells for. It doesn't have to be sports memorabilia. Oftentimes it is when you look at these headlines, but music stuff, old history stuff, you know.
Movie memorabilia has gotten more popular.
You know, whatever it is. Yeah, the movie, you know, here's what, whoever, Warren, whoever. I love seeing what it sells for. And over the weekend, smashing the record, like he smashed the baseball, Babe Ruth's jersey that he wore when he called his shot in Game 3 of the 1932 World Series, sold for $24.12 million at auction over the weekend. Most expensive sports collectible ever. And, you know, I said, if there is going to be a most expensive sports collectible ever, that's probably a good thing to have that title.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's, I can't think of, maybe the bat, but the jersey he wore. So the jersey's probably more valuable than the bat.
I'm guessing
the bat would be cool, too.
I'm guessing the bat's also in the Hall of Fame.
I have no idea. I would bet the bat's owned by somebody who paid a ton of money for it.
It's a good question. I'm actually surprised this jersey's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They don't have the money for it.
They'd have to sell the Hall of Fame to get the money to put it in there. But no, it's like one of those iconic moments. It would sell for it. So we want to know from people, what is that thing that you've been holding on to? You know, it's Buffalo, so I think a lot of it's going to be Bill stuff or Sabre stuff, but it doesn't have to be. You know, it could be a Beanie Baby. Could just be a family heirloom, something from way back when. A lot of family, you know, I have in the drawer things from great-grandparents from the Second World War, you know, that have been handed down.
Awesome.
I have one that, you know, one piece that I got that was given to our son, but, you know, I'm not letting him run around the house with a dagger, so... It's a smart idea by my parent of the year over here. So I'm holding on to it for him until he's can wield one of those. But, you know, from my wife's sides, you know, grandfather, all that kind of stuff. Like, what is that stuff that you have that's collecting value? And it's either sentimental value, like it means a lot to have passed down, or you're holding on to it because you think one day it's going to be worth a ton of money. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN.
Yeah, I'm really interested, you know, the sentimental stuff, you know, the stuff that's been passed down from generations. Like, I love stuff like that, stuff that from the World Wars, from even earlier than that, Brian, you know, getting to see a piece of... I'm obsessed with the, hey, you know, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, this was in their house. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff just always... impresses me. And when someone can say, like, this is, you know, 200 years old, it's been passed down our family tree, like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the things that you think are going to be worth a lot of money that never really end up panning out. That's why, you know, Beanie Babies gets mentioned. But on our text board, I like this person who texted in. Back in the day when Star Wars toys were being sold at Toys R Us and KB Toys at the mall, me and my brother got all the Star Wars stuff, Millennium Falcon, the TIE Fighter, Boba Fett, and all the figures, and like idiots, we messed with the stuff and then ended up selling them at a yard sale for almost nothing. If we would have held on to them, or at least kept them in good condition at this point, I wouldn't have to work for a while. Now, here's the thing. This person texts in mentioning Toys R Us and KB Toys. Now, I am not an expert, but Toys R Us and KB Toys, they were around when me and you were younger.
Yes.
So I'm taking this to mean that these are the Star Wars toys from the 90s when we were younger. I had a bunch of those.
Probably not worth
much. And I did the same. No. Some of them are worth like a little bit. I've sold, you know, a few that I found in an old box for, you know, I think like $50 for, you know, a few old ships. That'll make a college kid happy for a weekend. But most of it, maybe not so much. And I think like in some cases, you had a better time with that playing with the toys
than what you would have made off it.
Than you ever would selling them for who knows what later in life. Because especially if they're not like the original ones from the 70s, they're not going to be worth that much at the end of the day.
That's something that I'm always fascinated with, too, as someone who is not a Star Wars guy. Just the collectibles that people have from, and these collectibles start, Brian, in the 70s, right? The decades of collectibles of Star Wars stuff that people will fill a room with. Now, I'm sure the same person, you know, it's the same person, people will laugh at me and go, who's David Wright? But that to me is impressive. And again, I'm not a fan of the movies, but that is always impressive how far back some of these collectibles of those products go.
I'm always against it, Joe.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of buying a toy when you're a kid or for a kid and not playing with it.
Yeah. No.
But could you ever imagine giving a toy to a kid and saying, don't open this?
No. I could never imagine being a kid and saying, oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah. It's so much fun in the box.
You know, like when I was a kid, my favorite thing were Power Ranger toys. And
oh, yeah. They got... I don't think a single one of mine from back in the day had all of its limbs.
No, I had everything. I had the talking sword. I had all the Megazords. I had a Morpher. But I could never imagine going.
Jealous.
Just look at it. No, I want to press the button in the back and have the mouse talk.
Can we go back to when we were five, and you can invite me over to your house.
Well, I also was a. This always is an embarrassing story.
I had all the Fliphead ones.
Yeah, I had that too. Yeah. But I remember we came up to, I think it was Rochester, we were at Toys R Us, and I threw a big temper tantrum because I was a kid, and I wanted the Morpher set.
27.
Yeah. This was the last year Toys R Us was open. And I wanted the Morpher set, right? And my parents said, no, it's not, you know, it's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, why would we give this to you? And then for Christmas, you know, I got it as a gift. And like looking back, I was a real just pain as a kid. I hope I don't get the payback.
Huh? They say sometimes you do. We'll go to the phones. What's your piece of memorabilia or something like that that you're holding on to? 803-0930. Here's Dave in Lockport. You're on WBEN. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
Well, I'm holding in my hand a medallion. It's a coin. And Ralph Wilson got about 1,100 Girl Scouts to hand out these coins the night that Rich Stadium opened. For the first game against the Redskins. And I've had it, I put in a lovely frame, and now it will be a companion piece to my hunk of the rock pile. I have a piece of concrete from the rock pile. So the fact that this stadium is going to be a parking lot someday, this might pay off.
Hey, that's pretty cool. Now, you said it might pay off. Are you holding on to these things for sentimental reasons? Is something to pass down? Or are you thinking, hey, I might sell these one day?
I think this will probably get passed down to my... I have two sons that I used to... We all used to go to the football games together. This year, this season, will be the first time in 50 years that I haven't had season tickets. So I've got a lot of Bill stuff. I have a fair share.
Oh, that's
and I
cool.
And I have three of the four ticket stubs from the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went, because I'm a bit silly, I went and had them framed. They just look great.
Yeah.
Hanging up in the family room.
I think that's something that, yeah, that's, you know, that could pay off. The ticket stubs, Dave, and thanks for the call. You know, the Super Bowl 25 one was like holographic.
Oh, really?
It had like a hologram on the ticket. It was very cool.
Bring back ticket stubs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
By the way, the bat used to call the shot, Brian, you're right. It's not in the Hall of Fame. It sold in 2018 for $212,587.
And the jersey sold for $24 million.
Not even the most, the biggest bat.
That's crazy.
Babe Ruth's bat that broke the first home run record, I'm sorry, that he hit his first major league home run with, sold for $1.2 million.
That's nuts. Yeah. That to me is crazy. Back to the phones, Anita in Hamburg. You're on WBEN. How's it going this morning?
Oh, relatively okay. Beautiful day. Amazing, isn't it?
It is. I can't wait to get outside.
Yes. Yes. Well, I have a Wheaties box from the Minnesota Twins World Championship, 1987. My husband kept it, you know, and I've been keeping it for him. Well, he's passed on for quite a while now, but that's what I have, and I always wondered whether it's worth anything.
What kind of condition is this box? Are you a Twins fan?
No. Oh. It was my husband who did this. He even has a baseball from I don't know what or where or when. Since he's passed on, I have no idea. It's just that, you know, I don't follow baseball too much, but that's what I've got.
Those old Wheaties boxes, Anita, those were such a collector's item back in the day. You know, every like month they'd put something new on the Wheaties box. Mm-hmm. And the 87.
Yes, now, I remember that.
Now, Anita, I would say the 86 World Series Wheaties box would be more worth it, but that's just a little fan bias. But that's really cool.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it is, and I don't know what to do with it. It's just,
well, you got to keep it. You got to keep it.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Now, you kept so it this long. You got to keep it going. Anita, thank you. It's like, you know, like playing a little antiques roadshow here with two unprofessionals.
Yeah. But, I mean, anything baseball is going to, you know, that's really cool. The 87, that's the year after the Mets won their last World Series. And that's the thing. There's so much baseball memorabilia because there is a lot. You know, players switch bats often.
Mm-hmm.
How many balls go into the stands
it's
every
been around
game?
Forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, baseball stuff is, like, the most common. Players switch bats. They switch gloves. I mean, that's... And I mean, again, I have a little bias here because I love baseball, but like that's really cool to me.
Nice to have a keepsake. Nice to have something to have. I don't think I have a single thing that I look at and say, oh, this is being sold one day. Like, I'm selling this. Do you?
No.
I think like everything I have, I was thinking like, you know, as we're talking about this, like what are the coolest things I have? A ticket stub from Game 3 of the 99 Cup Final. Like that. It's probably not worth a lot of money. It's not game six.
Right.
You know, it's not. It's worth more to me than you would ever get from anyone else. I have handed down to me from an uncle some drumsticks from Rat Scabies of the Damned and a big old poster from their first record release, like back in the 70s, or a huge one. It's probably worth a good amount of money. I would never sell that. Those things are too cool for me. Like, that's the stuff that I like to hold on to.
I do have 3 Gabe Davis rookie cards in mint condition. I might be willing to part with those.
13 cents to match the jersey number. Or else it would be 10, but I'm feeling generous. Teresa in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. What's going on, Teresa?
Good morning. My husband and I have a copy of the contract of the Red Sox selling Babe Ruth to New York Yankees.
Now, how did you get your hands on something like that?
A friend of my husband's gave it to us.
Wow. Now, what kind of condition is it in?
It's in very good condition.
Do you have it, like, laminated?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
The contract that really cursed the Red Sox until the mid-2000s.
Do you have it on display? You a big baseball fan?
No, I keep it hidden away.
Are you a Red Sox fan? Is that why?
No.
Oh.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I've always been a Yankees fan. Even as growing up, my brother and I always fought because who got the TV first? Because I was a Yankee and he was a Mets.
Well, Teresa, do you know who David Wright is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. You're Joe's favorite caller of the week. All right. It's only Monday. We're hitting on the good texts and calls. I don't know when. It's a copy. I don't think you want to laminate those things, right?
Is that it? Well,
yeah, no. You don't want it. If you have like a contract or a piece of paper that's, you want it sealed somewhere so it's not, but not laminated.
I laminated my Odyssey contract. Is that okay?
Is it? Yeah, well, it's not that important. So. copies of things, they're cool to have. Like, that's something.
Certified copy would be like awesome. It had like a some kind of print of approval that this was used in the paperwork, like that. You know what I mean?
This is Babe's copy.
Right. You got Babe's copy. It was not separated from his jersey.
Not from the Xerox store.
No. Even though, Xerox might be worth a little something since there's no Xerox anymore, or very little Xerox. Didn't they go out of business or no?
That's the other thing. Like, just because something's old or doesn't exist anymore, you know, your old copier, fax machine, probably not worth a lot.
I have my old name tag from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Eh?
They're out. They're not around anymore. I mean,
someone wants to be that for Halloween. low effort costume. There you go.
Just get a polo and some khakis.
It is really weird how it's different. Like, you look at an item and you say, like, I have that, but you don't necessarily have it.
Right.
You know, like you watch some of these shows and, oh, the first ever iPhone, but completely sealed, right? Like, in the box with everything in there. It's never been opened or touched. you know, kept in that might be worth money. If you have all the components, but you opened it or used it, or, you know, anything like that, not worth anything.
You ever see the videos? This guy's, I've seen three of them, where he'll have a car from like the 80s. And it only has 100 miles on it. You know, a car that you and I, if we ever see it out, it's got the bumper missing. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks, it's showing its age. These are cars as if they were sitting on the lot. Under 100 miles. The engine's brand new. They've been sitting preserved since the 80s. Like, I'm sure that's something that's... I'm not a car guy. I'm sure that's something that's worth money.
Do you have, like, a problem with people who buy stuff? Just, like, with the attitude of, this is going to be worth something someday and I'm going to resell it?
Yes. But... you know what? Let them do it, because I don't think the statistics are on their side.
Generally, probably not.
I would say not. I mean, I guess the Pokemon cards, you're in luck. But I think I think we've talked more about things that were supposed to be this big item 20, 30 years later, and they haven't been.
Records are like that. And I just, you know, they're the worst. Where, you know, scarce records, and a lot of them are, you know, they'll only print 1,000 copies. It's all that gets made, or the first printing of a certain record, and people will buy them up. And then never open them or listen to them, because they're just holding on to them for the run to sell out and then to resell, you know, a few years down the line.
Yeah.
Especially if the band hits it big. And it's just like, come on.
It's annoying.
It's the worst thing ever. And I'm over here just like, you know, I would just like a copy of them, a CD preferably too. Like, I just want the music. Like, I don't care. I'm buying it to play it. I want to play it on the stereo and not you know, stream it through something. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to just hold on to it and shrink wrap for however long. Even if I don't play it right away, I'm opening it. There's nothing better than buying something and then just wrapping, you know, getting the plastic off of it and opening it up.
I like this person's text. They have their parents' 1974 RCA color console TV. Beautiful picture. I mean, there was a time where... If you were going to someone's house of a certain age, that's the TV that was in the living room. The console TV.
Yeah. I saw one of them at the curb. We were driving around to little kids' birthday parties and stuff over the weekend. And I go to my wife and go, you know, if we had room in the trunk, let's pick up that TV. That would be cool.
Yep. My grandmother...
look back.
My grandmother had one into her 90s, and then it finally just... It stopped working.
Yeah.
But... There was a time, I mean, you go to, both my grandparents had console TVs at one point, my babysitter in Hornell had console, I mean, that was every living room of someone.
They could have kept the TV and used it as a stand for the new flat screen.
I've seen people do that.
Yeah. I mean, that would have looked cool. I think that would have looked pretty cool. All the Bill stuff, though, like, the Bill stuff, I think, is more personal. Every single basement in Western New York has a box of Flutie Flakes. A lot of them are even autographed. I don't think they're worth that much money because of that. Like, they're not exactly scarce.
Right.
Right? Like, everybody has it.
And that's also something, though, like, I want my parents to please keep their box of Flutie Flakes because I want to have it.
You
like,
want to keep it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it again, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's worth a lot of money.
No.
Because everyone who would want one... already kind of has one, with, you know, a few exceptions.
Unless it was the prop on Everybody Loves Raymond.
That exact box of Flutie Flakes. That's the one that's worth a lot of money.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, Everybody Loves Raymond. You can't even find it on TV anymore.
I've got like the whole, you know, between Kelly and Flutie and Alan now. I mean, I've got a whole cereal aisle going in my attic.
Do you have Mario's?
I don't think I have any Mario's or T.O.'s.
Okay.
Just the quarterbacks.
All right. You have a theme.
Yeah.
Lossman didn't have a cereal?
You know, I don't think he got...
JP's L's?
There. That's mean.
I know. He's got a championship ring.
Come on. From who?
Clemson. He's the quarterback coach.
Oh, I thought like fantasy.
No.
Would have been good. All right. Well, what are those things? You can, I mean, let us know throughout the week, because I'm always interested in that kind of stuff. We'll both be back here tomorrow. You got the news with Lucas next, and David Bellavia, all coming up here on WBEN.